If you enjoy what we do and would like to hear more, you can find the portal to all of our content at beholdrp.com. That's BEHOLDRP.com. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Hi, guys. Welcome to our new show called Behold Lore, where it's pretty much going to be the three of us plus a guest, if we're able to get a guest per episode. However, for the first episode, it's going to be just the three of us, where we have our two lore masters and me just being the hostess, keeping everybody on track, because I know we will just ramble on forever, which we love, but we want to actually keep a good time limit going. Like I said before, it's pretty much going to be the three of us, plus a guest. We have one person lined up, but I don't want to officially announce it because we're not sure if they'll be available, but look forward to guest announcements on our social media as it happens. So yeah, we're going to cover a lot of things, and not just in one episode, but we're going to cover things such as world building, characters and deities, creatures and races, calendars and the astronomy that goes behind all that, behind the scene info for both the DM side as well as characters. As one of our segments when we do have guests on, we're going to be talking both lore and their characters specifically. More to come in the future episodes. And just kind of everything in between. So today we are going to talk about the world. We're just going to kick it off with the world first. And of course, I'm playing host. This is mostly Rogen and Fox that have created this. So I am here to wrangle and ask questions and kind of get more in-depth information for both you guys and me, because I want to know a lot more too. So so let's just kick it off with just the general world and the continents that all the games are based off of. Obviously, they don't all take place on one continent. If I remember correctly, Withered Waste takes place on a different continent. Of course, No Way Out and Into the Wildlands were taking place on the continent that Destiny Forge is on, since they were like mini stories going on. But we have games that are going to be in the same world, just different places and different continents. So let's talk about that.
Well, I think probably step one is saying the names of these continents. The continent that Destiny Forge, Into the Wildlands, and No Way Out. That's the other one. That's the one that I
that one. that one.
All take place on a continent that we have been calling Talendra. And you can see that sometimes on stream while we're playing. We have the world map up. It has the name of the continent up at the top there. And the continent that Sonata is the other game that I run. Jeez, yeah, you'd think I wasn't prepared. The continent that Sonata takes place on, which is also within this world, is the continent of Icarus. Now, I'm going to turn to Rogen here for the name of
I'm very desperately scrolling through my notes, trying to see if where in the hell I wrote that down. Because of course I put it in Draconic, so it's not really something that that I remember. I think it's on my Gmail drive.
I'm gonna buy him a little bit of time here. He mentioned that the name is in Draconic, and that is actually, I think, something that we're gonna be talking about a lot today, or at least that's something that I want to talk a lot about today. That's gonna be a big part of the timeline discussion, is why a lot of these names that we're using for this stuff is in Draconic or inspired by Draconic. You've heard us talk about world dragons a little bit previously, especially recently. And that is
to say Into the Wildlands, we kind of revealed one of them for that area as well.
Yeah. Not to dive too deep into timeline stuff already, but there have been a few reveals of world dragons and world dragon related things across all of these campaigns. Into the Wildlands, we had the dragon that was asleep underneath the continent, or that essentially was that part of the continent, that was a world dragon. And the final fight encounter of Sonata 2 against the dragon known as Korax, that was also actually one of the world dragons. And there is a third dragon currently flying around the world. You may have heard us talk about a Cataclysm dragon that was created for Ravenslark and a home game that he's running. That, as well, is one of the world dragons. And was that created
by Raven, or was that kind of a collaboration?
So Raven came to me at the end of one of our Destiny Forged games, and he's like, hey, I need a dragon that's like a world ending creature, something that the players aren't meant to fight directly, but rather something that they have to try and seal away or just avoid. I'm like, yeah, okay, I can whip something up for you. And then that was essentially the birth of that Cataclysm dragon, which is now wrapped into all of this world dragon lore.
And J-Meister actually has a good follow-up question with that, too. Is Raven's home campaign part of this world that the dragon was made for, or was it more of the dragon was made for his, but now integrated into this world?
His home game is technically a part of this world as well. All of these campaigns, as we've mentioned, are taking place on different continents. And as Raven's campaign develops and key events or just major things that happen, creatures and stuff that appear, I am prodding and poking him for that information as he writes it, so I can keep it in this world lore. Because as we see with that Cataclysm dragon, it is now roaming the world somewhere and can absolutely make an appearance in one of these other campaigns.
Which now... I think poses the question.
Absolutely will make an appearance in one of these campaigns.
Oh, I'm sure. It's from what I remember, it's a very scary dragon. I feel like for us to even have a chance, maybe level 20 characters, but we'll have to see if we do encounter it. So with that being said, will we eventually, I guess this is more of a Raven question, but just to put it out there for now, would we probably play on that continent some point in the future?
The continent exists in the world, and I have a map for it. So I'm going to go ahead and say that it is absolutely possible that at any point in any of the campaigns, the players can visit that continent.
Yep.
So do we have a complete set of the world as of right now, or is it kind of a work in progress as we start creating more of these continents, and then we'll eventually get a whole globe?
Work in progress. Because we keep adding, like I think both me and HB Fox keep adding things constantly to like different locations in the world, either for like specific locations for where certain ores have come from to make the weapons that you guys have come across, to possible locations for future campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At the moment, I think we have 4, maybe 5 continents on the world, and we haven't decided on an actual like circumference of this planet, but we have discussed it being a very large planet, so there's plenty of room for Jupiter more size. Continents to be. It could very well be.
I have a feeling it's like Mega Jupiter or something. It's just like this.
I mean, why not?
Enormous giant. Why not? Just floating around in space?
Can't tell us it can't be a certain size. Why not?
Yeah, so it's definitely a very large world, and currently, despite the size of the continents that we have, we only have a very small section of this very large world. Mm-hmm. But eventually, to answer the question, we will have a globe map for this world once it's full.
Because so far we have, just to kind of name the continents, we have the one that Destiny Forge is on, Ravens, Withered Waste, and Sonata. Are those the four?
Those are the four that we've played on.
There's well, technically, I guess if that's the case, technically not Ravens then, because that was just, I just remember it was part of the world.
Yeah. Ravens. And then the ones that you named are the ones that we played on. There's also the Northern Kingdoms, which I'm working on right now for campaign three.
That's for three. Yeah. So that will be the fifth place that we know of that for a continent. Are they all just based off of, so let's go a little bit more in depth. Let's go a little deeper. That's what we're here for the continents. They're all based off of world dragons and these powerful creatures, and the names are in Draconic. Does that mean that they are claimed territories for those dragons? Are they remnants of a dragon, kind of like where the wildlands were, or are they something more, or just something else entirely?
So this is something that I'm like really excited to talk about, because I've been working on it a lot lately. And I know Rogen also has his own plans in place for some of this stuff. But the world dragons are, the way that I view them and the way that I've been writing stuff about them is that they are essentially legendary figures in the history of this world. And so even in our real world legends, they start out based on fact, but over time it turns into this grandiose story of fiction, and not all of the points and people and figures within these legends were actually there and actually happened. So the world dragons were essentially the recorders of the history of the known timelines. But the way that they worked is that all of their stuff was just, it was an oral history. It wasn't written down. And so our known timeline starts essentially at the point where the world dragons have decided to unify the other races of the world and create societies. And from there, all of this history of these civilizations builds up and kind of takes over from the quote-unquote rule of the world dragons. And several wars and such have happened in that time period, which have built up their written history and then destroyed their written history and built it up again. So all of these stories have been told and retold many times over by the point we're at right now in the timeline. And so the name World Dragon isn't necessarily a thing that's commonly known by mortals of the world, but it's told in legend, like, this civilization in this part of the world was once ruled by dragons type of thing, rather than this area was owned by a world dragon. That isn't known, but dragons are a big part of the history. And so the actual territorial lines and stuff aren't known by the mortals, but should we ever encounter a figure that has been around back from that time period, such as a world dragon, or say an archfey or something that lives for thousands of years, then maybe we'll learn more specific details about that.
So with the, just to kind of clarify, the world dragons are a step up from ancient dragons, where they're more powerful, live longer. I know they're already pretty badass, but the world dragons, are they a different form of ancient dragons, or are they above ancient dragons?
The way that I see them is they're like the ascended.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, they're like the ascended dragons. They've cultivated enough power, or like a big enough horde, to where they've gone up and they've evolved beyond what a basic dragon would be, to the point to where they could even still be alive at this point in time. But for the most part, nobody has, you know, encountered them, save for like the Calamity Dragon and the dragon who's currently sleeping over on the southwest continent of what is now the Wildlands,
which is pretty crazy that Theron discovered that, and it's like, it's probably the first group in who knows a millennia or even more just to even know about it.
And the only reason why he discovered that was because of Orekeeper.
Powerful weapon.
You can kind of see in these world dragons, what Rogen was just referring to, at that they have kind of ascended beyond what they originally started as, by looking at like the Calamity Dragon, for instance, you can see that it has very strong ties to blue dragons. just in its coloration and the abilities that it has, but it is obviously far, far above what any even ancient blue dragon could be. And same thing with Korax, the dragon from Sonata 2. In the way that it looked after the corruption was taken off of it, it had visual ties to white dragons, but it obviously had many abilities that white dragons only dream of. So the way that I'm approaching the world dragons that I've created is, what were they, and how can I take what they were and tie it into the lineage of what they are now?
Poor white dragons.
We're not going to talk about that. That's for a different segment. That's, yeah.
Going off of what Fox was saying about the history, if this last Tuesday, if you guys had spent time in the library and started going through the other novels that weren't about like your characters, you could have found history about the world dragons and what they had done and accomplished throughout history itself.
If I remember correctly, I think we have access to that library, don't we now?
You do have access to the library because you guys are now in possession of the Sister Carnage, which for all intents and purposes is a rune ship that has the ability to, has gate magic to be able to slip in between different planes of existence, including the Astral Sea.
Yeah.
See, that's and, cool.
Similar to that, in Null Way Out, had you guys done the obelisk puzzle, it would have revealed to you some additional history about that area of the world and also the world dragons and how that ties into it. And it would have pointed you to other locations within the desert that would have had more history for you to uncover.
You needed to give me time to figure out the puzzle because gnolls have short lifespans, and if it takes you away a year of your life, I need to figure it out. Plenty of
time. You guys decided to leave.
Okay, I'll wait a year. Whatever. If she's still alive. So let's back up a little bit now, because we've talked about like how history has changed so much. About the dragons and how it's been rewritten and everything in between. I think it's still a work in progress, but what is the timeline? How many thousands of years has it been since the beginning that we know of?
Okay. I have those numbers prepared.
I was going to say H.P. Fox has been plotting out this timeline for a bit.
I have. So the known timeline of the world consists of three eras. There is the Era of Silence, the Forgotten Era, and the Current Era. And they span a total of about 4,435 years. And the end of each of these eras is marked by a significant world event. Now, obviously the world has been around for much longer than that. But that's the current recorded history for reasons that I alluded to earlier, with the wars that broke out in the civilizations and the loss of written history. So as these campaigns that we're currently playing progress, and depending on the creatures that you come across, that we come across and speak to, we may learn more about these existing eras and what came before them. Now, the Era of Silence, which is where the timeline starts, lasted for about 712 years. And those years, when written down, are marked with the acronym BU, which stands for Before Unification. And for the first half of this time period, the world was in a bit of a state of turmoil. And societies that we know, or as we know them, didn't exist. But the world dragons roamed the world and basically controlled everything. And in the latter half of this era, the world dragons began to bring together the lesser beings, the other races of the world, and they formed castes, which eventually evolved into societies and civilizations. And they formed them kind of in the same way that a god gathers followers. Not that the world dragons themselves are specifically gods, but similar to that that type of thing. And at that point, that's when this unification brought an end to that particular era. And then the next era, the Forgotten Era, which lasted for 2,138 years, picked up where that left off. And those years are marked with AU for after unification. I do have lots of details about these two eras that we can get into, unless you wanted to interject there with anything else.
I feel like this is kind of what I wanted the first episode to be dedicated to, is more of like the world history, and then kind of separate it and break it down from there. So depending on how much we talk about it, I see no problem in kind of going more in depth with that. Just to kind of to learn about them.
And there currently is an endpoint to history as well. That was alluded to back in back on Tuesday, was due to some sort of events, a certain point in time is reached, and then everything is reset, and those thousands of years play out again. And
yeah,
every time it happens, there are different choices that are made, and there are different branching events that happen that cause other things to change or warp, but it all comes back down to that single point of failure, to where history will reach that endpoint and then reset.
Which is, of course, we don't know what that endpoint is, but it's kind of a scary thought to think that it would fail, reset the game.
Close. It's the endpoint for you for history at the moment is close.
Oh dang.
Yeah, you guys are like on the sunset years of history at the moment.
That's crazy. Not giving up my blade. Moving on.
Not giving up my blade.
I went over the Era of Silence briefly, and that era in the known timeline, it doesn't have much in it, because we haven't learned much about it.
Is that the very first, earliest years?
Yeah, that's the start of current recorded history.
Okay.
The next era, the Forgotten Era, is where things start to get exciting. And as mentioned, this year lasted for just over 2,000 years. About 573 years into this era is where the unification of the world's races gave rise to the Forgotten Gods, which is a subject that I am really excited about because I don't know much about it. The followers of these Forgotten Gods eventually rose up and rebelled against the world dragons. And we've seen an allusion to these gods in Withered Wastes, actually. I think while we were digging up information on the Cult of the Sleeper, the antagonistic cult of that campaign, we learned that there are sects of warlocks out in the Wastes that follow some of these Forgotten Gods. And yeah. Rogen actually also hinted that a certain antagonist from season one of Destiny Forged was one of these Forgotten Gods.
Yep. I actually have the Forgotten Gods designed out.
Yeah. And one of that's like most of the information that I have about these gods is just from what we've learned as players.
Right.
Because the entire concept of them is Rogen's creation. Mm-hmm. And that's actually one of the struggles I think that we have in the creation of this world. It's a collaborative effort, but we also have to be really careful about the depth of what we collaborate on, because we're players in each other's campaigns.
Yeah.
So giving too much information to each other could unintentionally and spoil something from these campaigns. But
Something we're going to plan to do at some point as well, as if a campaign ends, like, okay, Destiny Forge season two done. It's like, you know, what can we reveal that we're not going to, you know, roll over to future campaigns? Just like what can we let everyone know and let those little secrets out? But it definitely can be a struggle when you're both DM and player in each other's campaigns and
I don't want to spoil it. I will say that the Forgotten Gods themselves are not dead, and they are not gone.
Do you have a number you can give us?
There are currently 7 that history knows of.
7. Okay.
There are currently 7, and then there are a couple more that nobody knows of, and they're sort of like waiting out in the bleachers at the moment for the right time to show themselves.
Well, that's going to be exciting. I feel like Wither's Waste is going to reveal quite a few of them, or learn more about them compared to the other ones first.
Gary is not one of them. Gary is something else.
That's going to be something fun to discover later.
The only one that has been introduced so far was Zatrot, which was the old one from season 1, which was the gigantic spider creature.
Which is unfortunate that we don't have those YouTube videos to kind of like go back and kind of refamiliarize ourselves with that. But that's pretty cool that it's already rolling over, and it's great. So we can't explain Gary yet. Gary's still a mystery. We'll have to wait till season 2 ends.
I can give a little bit of history of Gary.
Yeah, do you want to talk about what we know about him and
I could definitely. Gary is sort of like one of those old ones at home style thing, to where it's just some machination of a bunch of insane cultists actually giving life to something and begin worshiping it and revering it as their own personal god.
Is this like what are the fish people? The Kuatoas?
Yeah, it has the same effect as of Kuatoa, yes, but Gary's cultists are a bunch of just, I would say insane would be the easiest way to put it, but they're just a bunch of like insane spellcasters that wanted pretty much to create and control their own god as a means to harvest it for power. And well, things got a little weird. And Gary was made. And it backfired on them. Instead of like being able to use him as sort of a power battery, it's become this twisted sort of bond, sort of like what warlocks get when they enter packs. But instead of just like, I worship you, you give me power, it's I sacrifice my sanity to you and you give me power. So the stronger you are in Gary's cult, the more insane you are.
So future characters, for anyone who wants to do it as a patron
Gary. If you want Gary to be your patron in a future thing, I will write up a thing for it.
Pact of Gary.
But the higher level, Gary. Yeah, the higher level you go, the more insane you start getting.
That almost reminds me of the level of insanity in, was it either the Cult of Cthulhu, if you play as, what is it called? The Malkavians in Vampire the Masquerade, where you're just insane, and it's just, but the level of increasing is
Was that Gary? Gary was first mentioned in the beach episode.
Yeah, we found him, I'll have to refer to my notes. I can't remember which town we were, but we found him at book. It was a book of Gary.
Attempted beach episode.
Yep. Yeah,
we Gary still haven't it. Had our real beach
you episode. You haven't yet. Had an actual beach episode yet.
Gary ruined it.
We will have that episode.
Yep, because the Cult of Gary had a bookshop that a certain someone wanted to go into to get a book.
And Zale thought it'd be fun. I'm going to play a joke on Ash, and guess what? Beach episode ruined. So hashtag blame Zale?
No. Yep. Hashtag blame Rose, because she knew how dangerous those books were, but she didn't explain it to us. She just said don't do it and expected us to listen.
Well, I mean, we've told Zale many times, hey, don't eat this thing, and that hasn't stopped her, so you know.
Exactly my point.
I mean, this is true.
So Gary is not one of those thing. Gary's is not one of the big boys, no. But still very interesting.
Gary is what happens when you give a magic marker to a child who wants magical power.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, I imagine that marker summons some sort of horrible being from beyond reality.
Yeah.
I imagine Gary probably falls into a similar category as Sorateal, as like a lesser deity. They're powerful enough to kind of be part of that group of deities, but not to the point where they're really classed as a major
influence. Yeah, if they were, if they all went to high school together, they would have to sit at their own table because they're not the cool kids.
Aww. So they're not a jock or a cheerleader.
No, they're not a jock or a cheerleader. They're just that weird kid that just showed up to school.
Oh, they're the drama kid.
The drama kids.
Oh, I can relate.
I love feel it. Like Gary's probably a drama kid that like eats glue or something, though.
Okay, that's lower.
Gary's not the drama kid. Gary's just that strange kid that people don't really know what he's about.
Yep. So
people don't want to get to know him, but they just had some rumors floating about where just like,
yep,
I heard he eats beetles. It's like,
rest assured, when we get around to the topic of gods and pantheons on this show, because I'm sure we're going to have like dedicated discussions about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to have a lot of questions for Rogan about the Forgotten Gods.
Yeah. Each one of these episodes will kind of have like a dedicated topic. Otherwise, if we didn't, we would just scatter so far. It would just be ridiculous. So,
back on the topic of the Forgotten Era. Mm-hmm. During the rise of the Forgotten Gods and the beginning of the rebellions against the World Dragons, there was something else happening in the world, a certain part of the world, a force currently known as the Shadow, which was talked about in Sonata and Sonata 2, began to spread across that particular continent. And that, as well, is not a part of the Forgotten Gods pantheon, but rather something that just decided to take advantage of the state of the world at that time. And that happened about 706 years into the Forgotten Era. And then the build of the Forgotten Gods followers and that particular rebellion was a bit of a slow burn, because it was, as far as we know anyway, their first real big rise in the world. So it happened over the course of about a millennia that they built a following large enough and powerful enough that the World Dragons recognized them as a threat. And in the year 1821 of that era, full-scale war broke out between the Forgotten Gods and the World Dragons, which lasted for nearly 300 years. And that ended I'm going to say defeat of the Forgotten Gods, but as Rogan mentioned, they weren't really defeated.
Right.
They were just not victorious in that war. And this war also ended up in basically the destruction of the entirety of the World Dragon's unification efforts. And after that had happened, there was infighting between the World Dragons, indecision about how to proceed from there, and that left them in a weakened state. And at that point, some of them were forced into hibernation, such as the Calamity Dragon, which was forced into hibernation, and the rest of them elected to enter hibernation just to recuperate themselves. And that is what marked the end of the Forgotten Era.
Now, so there could be a chance sometime in this world's future where those hibernating World Dragons will awake from their slumber and just wreak havoc for revenge.
I mean, you had the chance on Wildlands to wake one up.
So that's actually, we're going to touch on that specifically in the next era, the current era, which doesn't have a name yet, because typically these things are named after they end. I think it would be a bad omen if somebody decided to name the era before it was over. Kind of like naming a group.
And Trojan totally gave us, and we were just like,
yep,
we'll think about
you're
it.
You're getting a name before this is done.
I have an idea. It's not a glamorous name, but I've been sitting on a Zale monologue since well before our hiatus. So I'm just waiting for the opportunity where Zale can message like Ash or something and just be like, hey, we need to talk. And then she'll go into her big monologue. So we'll the current era, which currently is in year 1585, ongoing, hopefully, is marked by the PH acronym, which stands for post-hibernation. And as mentioned before, not too much is known by mortals of this era about the previous eras because of all the destruction. But I'm sure we'll discover more of it as it happens. So on the topic of world dragons awakening, though, a world dragon was awoken in 1336 of this era. And that was actually Korax, which you guys fought in Sonata. Mm-hmm. And another was,
and that was discovered. The dragon that we fought, not the egg, correct?
Yes,
well, we got the egg.
They were one and the same. That is one of Korax's abilities, where he can essentially put himself into that reset state, where mm-hmm. instead of dying, he will sacrifice what is left of his form. In order to start his own cycle over again. And
which
that's
is awesome.
What the egg was.
Okay.
So he was awakened in 1336 by a bunch of dwarves under Mount Beryl, which I was so ecstatic when things worked out this way, because it wasn't planned, it was just things coming together in the right way. In Sonata 1, when you guys were in Antia's room, you discovered the robe that she had locked away with a nameplate on it. And I'm kind of glad nobody put two and two together when Wildlands started, because the nameplate on that robe was Therion's Mantle. And it was, now, after the events of all these campaigns, I'm saying, it was something created by Therion after he got access to the Forge. Because Therion is originally from that continent, from the caste of dwarves that lived underneath Mount Beryl, that had awoken Korax several hundred years before. And all of this stuff just kind of wrapped together so nicely. With nice. No collaboration between Rojan and I, it just worked out that way, and I'm so happy it did. But yeah, the dwarves woke up Korax beneath that mountain. The world dragon in the Wildlands was discovered by that crew in 15... Let's see, that happened... 15...
You don't have it on your notes?
80... 1584? But some of my years at the end here are not quite lining up because we were still discussing specifics when I wrote out this timeline.
Well, we weren't. It's still a work in progress.
Yeah. 1584, I believe, is when that one was discovered. And the one from Raven's campaign was also awoken in 1584. So we have two world dragons that have been awakened, and one that has been discovered, but is still slumbering.
And we don't know how many there are.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, and just to kind of help people out too, because I know you guys, I'm sure you guys have talked about this, just to help out, for the campaigns, both current and in the past, what is the timeline as far as like the order? Like, is Sonata first like 200 years ago, and then it's so on and so forth?
That is something that I do have on the
okay.
timeline. I can't go into detail of that because it is massive spoilers for one of the campaigns.
Okay. we'll put a pin in that, but if
but if I think you Fox wanna... has some for his.
Yeah, I can talk about the campaigns that I'm a player in and the ones that I run, because all of that information is already public. We've talked about that on stream.
Yeah.
So we have talked about Withered Wastes being 20 years prior to Destiny Forged.
Mm-hmm.
So Withered Wastes would be starting in or around 1563 to 1565 is the start of that one. Destiny Forged and Sonata began in the same year, which was 1583.
Okay, so Sonata's in the same year.
Yeah, and Sonata 2 happened in 1584.
Okay.
And then Into the Wildlands and No Way Out is 1585.
Okay. Very nice. Yeah, because we've had, I think for Destiny Forge Season 2 has been roughly 2.5, almost 3 years in game time.
Yeah, I think we're approaching 3 years.
Because we had the 1 year time skip, but we had roughly a year for before that. And then I think we've calculated it's been about five and a half months so far post year
skip. Yeah, post time skip, you traveled for about a year and a half.
Okay, yeah, so we're coming up on 3 years then for in-game timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll have to plan birthdays and everything too. Like, we have actual birthdays for our characters.
That is something I need to get information from everyone about for all of the characters that you are currently playing, because of the World Anvil stuff. I'm going to be putting up all the character information on there so people can reference it.
And that's and that's something too that will, I think that should be our next episode too, is talking about calendar and the astronomy and everything behind that. That way we can go more in depth about days of the week, the months, how many days are in a year, the seasons, all that stuff. Because I know that will take some time.
Yeah, and quick note on that. There are 14 months in the year. We can explain why later, but there are 14 months in the year, and Destiny Forged currently has 5.5 months left in the year 1585. So we're really close to 1586, which would be approximately the third year of the campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember we kind of mapped that out. Well, you guys more, but kind of mapped that out, which was really cool. And again, we'll talk about that next time, but so what we should probably do, just to kind of expose it to everyone else, is once we kind of have, hey, this many years in this era, this many years in this era, we should put it in our, oh gosh, I'll have to check the section where we have all the custom made stuff. Which one is, what's that called? That's the, oh, why can't I find it? Or maybe I hit, nope, material plant. No, where it's in me. Was it Tabletop Stories? No. The Armory? It was the Armory. The
Armory.
Yeah. I don't know if we want to rename it or just add a new one, just to kind of just put in the lore that we can tell and expose. That way, if anyone wants to go back and look at timeline stuff, it would be just kind of interesting and fun for everyone to kind of go back and reference that. So,
yeah, and once we get the Anvil site running, there is a timeline section on there that we can chart everything out,
which is amazing. So that's something you've been tackling within the last week too.
Yeah, there's just way too much I have to learn with this thing right now.
And I do have a visual of the timeline. The unified timeline, as well as the individual era timelines that I've been working on and tracking everything on. So I will at some point, I'm sure, port that over to World Anvil, or just link that directly in wherever we decide to put this information.
Yeah.
So I have a bit of a treat here for those of us that are joining us live in Twitch chat. I uploaded the visual timeline that I have been using for my own reference to my GitHub, and I will drop the link to it in chat here so everyone can take a look if they want to. No spoilers Perfect. On it. It's just about the things that we literally just talked about.
Okay, so, and this will post this in our Discord as well as, so for those of you just listening, without the visual aid, it is, just like you said, the timeline of some events throughout the history of this world. So we'll have to post that in Discord as well.
I'll clean it up a bit. It's kind of messy because it's just been my own personal record thus far. But I'll clean it up again and make it actually presentable for other people.
And you color coordinate too, so I'm assuming the different colors represents the end of the era and then the beginning of the next one.
Okay. So on the first page, there's the unified timeline, so that's all three eras together. And then as you scroll down, you can see the Era of Silence and the Forgotten Era and then the current era.
Which is awesome. So like you said, BU before unification, AU after unification, then post-hibernation PH. So. Yep. That's really cool. So, and again, this will be fun to have not only just for the players, but the viewers as well to kind of keep track of all that stuff too, especially when we start adding more information as well as more worlds. Cause that'll be fun to have that as like a play mat or something, or even just like a poster. That'd be so cool to have that just completely laid out at some point.
The information that's on this timeline, as we mentioned earlier, a lot of this isn't really known to the current mortals of the world, but I imagine like high wizards and elusive historians and stuff currently in the world would have this information. They're just, you know, they're wizards. They don't like to share.
That's fair.
So it's in the world. It's not the common knowledge.
People with an interdimensional library card, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So just like I said, since we have a little bit of time left, dabble in some more information as far as the worlds, if there's anything specific of the timelines, because I think you only mentioned just one event that happened that, or actually, no, let me revise that. The first event, the big thing was the rise up of the world dragons and these powerful beings. And then the next event that started, that ended the second era, would have been the end of that battle.
Yeah. Well, so the start of the first era is when the dragons started to like talk to each other, basically. And then the end of that first era was them agreeing to form societies. And start of the second era was societies formed. End of second era was post-war, everything is destroyed. And then start of the current era is civilization essentially starting to rebuild itself without the presence of the world dragons.
And what civilizations were around when this was happening, either earlier on or during the war? What kind of were some of the races that were around? Because I remember you mentioned that a lot of the races didn't come around until later. So who was around, the primary races at least? Because I don't know how long this list is, but what are some of the races that were around then?
So that's something that we haven't yet collaborated on. I'm sure we both, Rojan and I, have our own ideas of who was around and at what times. Roughly in my mind, I would say that's when you'd have seen the oldest of the races, basically elves, dragonborn, dwarves, that sort of thing. Probably around the start to mid of the second era, the Forgotten Era, is when some of the custom races, the homebrew races that we have, were at their peak, like the Hargraven. There was probably way, way more of them around during that time. Not as much of them now, but not really rare. Mm-hmm. But their peak was then, and that's why you don't see them all over the place now.
Mm-hmm. That's another one that I'm actually really excited to dabble on in the future is custom races and creatures that,
yeah,
that's pretty exciting. I'll look forward to that. But
to give a bit of a history, campaign one took place, started and ended in 1183. Because it's way older. Yes. Yeah, it ended. It started in 1183 with Zatrot being awakened, and then it ended in 1183 with Zatrot being subdued once again.
So, doing some super quick math, that was roughly 700 years ago.
I can tell you,
because I can't not math. Oh God! Now I wonder, like, how many
400 years ago? 400 years from the current, 402, but yeah, from the current, or 400 years
details
before the start of Destiny Forged.
Got it. Okay. So now it's like, oh God, where is season 3 going to take place? Like, how is that going to?
Yeah. And
like campaign 3, I have so much planned for it.
I feel like a lot of that, that campaign's position in the timeline is going to really depend on how
what you do season exactly. 2
ends.
I figured as much, yeah.
But just touching on campaign 1, as Aaron mentioned, our hellscape was only 1 year.
Yeah, because if you remember, it was
only 1 year in that plane.
Yeah, because if you remember,
we as characters probably experienced many years, but in so many planes, hopping constantly from one to the other.
Because you guys were technically put into a training simulation, if you want, by Null, who is pretty much this world's version of Q from Star Trek.
Hyperbolic time chamber?
Yeah, it was pretty much a hyperbolic time chamber, but they traveled throughout numerous worlds that were all just a sort of grand illusion. And for them, it was a span of multiple years, but he did it because they needed to get stronger in order to stop Zatrot when he awoke. So in all sense, all sense of time, it was only a year, but to them it was like 5-6 years with like all the journeys and stuff that they had gone.
Oh, on. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, so my character from that game, we've talked about, or at least I've talked about on the channel many times, how his story in that game ended, but I'm glad that we now have public confirmation that that campaign was part of this world as well, mm-hmm. because I can now say publicly that a lot of tropes and triggers that I've been using in campaigns are derived from what my character in that game is doing post that campaign. So a lot of things like the dragon door, for instance, the golden door with the three dragons, that is connected to my previous character in ways that I'm not going to spoil.
And for those who don't know, that's from the first Sonata.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And first Sonata made a brief appearance in Null Way Out. There were some items from Sonata as well that were tied to my character. And there is also one yet to be discovered thing in Null Way Out that is as well tied to my previous character. It's not a character that I'm ever going to play again, but because of how his story ended in campaign one, it has given me the opportunity to use his tomfoolery as story triggers in future campaigns, which is really nice.
And he had a hoard too. He was just collected shit.
His inventory puts the inventory of all my other characters combined to shame.
Many magical items I had created in that campaign that ended up in that backpack that never got used.
Yeah. I think he ended that campaign with, I want to say it was 14 magical items untouched in his bag. He just took them, put them in the bag.
And a vast majority of them were customs.
Yeah.
That never got to see the light of day.
See, that's my fear right now is if Ash reaches a point where she has to give up that blade, I still have that what the fuck is that blade? It's the cursed sword. I still have that guy. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to.
Oh, the backlighter?
Yeah. I was like, I've used it twice and it made huge ouchies. And I'm like, we'll see. This was also when I was a younger Ash and my con was not as high. So who knows? Who knows if that'll change? But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if we maybe will even see some of those unique items scattered because of Cassie's tomfoolery.
You have not seen a reuse from me anyway for those. Oh, okay.
There is two items from his inventory that I have placed in the world. I'm not going to tell you which campaign and I'm not going to tell you where, but there are two items that are obtainable that he technically still owns, but
I forgot,
have been taken.
I forgot about the bank breaker.
That sword was awesome. How could you forget about that?
I forgot about the bank breaker.
Every time you swing it, you got gold?
No, it's
not quite.
Its power was derived from how much personal wealth you had, but in order to wield it, you pretty much had to pay it.
Oh, you had to have a coin slot?
Oh, no, it just took money from you.
Oh, bitch. Ash would be so poor. It's like, nope. Done.
I mean, that came into play. It was Groudon's character that had it, and at one point, he was too poor to use it. It refused to work for him, and it was great.
Oh, yeah. Make sense. It would be a sentient sword. Yeah, that makes sense, because it's like, no, you pay me, bitch.
That's another topic that I'm really excited to talk about on this show, is the items and such that we've created for these worlds.
That will definitely be on the
persistent
list
across these campaigns, which is great.
I told Shadow Fox what the question mark on the Star Slinger did, because he never got to use it.
Aww.
Yeah, he asked me what it does, and if he would have used it, it dealt void damage. It was a void bullet that when it was fired, whatever it hit, the bullet would then collapse and then form a miniature collapsing black hole in that area. And it would have just caused all sort of chaos.
Well, if you didn't have that epic ending that was emotional, you know, then we probably would have known. Who knows? That's still really cool, though.
Look, I wasn't expecting someone to wish for the item that you guys were searching out and, you know, make a pact with the lich that was inside of it.
Yeah, it made for a great story, though. The ending was just like bittersweet. It was really good. Again, I was into the Wildlands, for those who didn't know, with Shadow's character. But yeah, that's definitely on the topic of the creation of the items and everything too, both existing and are out there, but and others we probably won't even talk about because fun stuff, fun secrets, I'm sure.
I'm really eager to talk about that sword that Tam's character pulled from the Winter Wolf near the end of Sonata 2.
Yeah.
I was expecting you guys to come across that sword much earlier in that campaign. I actually had it placed in Sonata 1 as well. But it was right at the end, and we were on a timeline or had a time frame that we had to meet with that campaign, so I couldn't dive into it. Eager to do so.
But the rollover was
another episode of this show.
Yeah. So we're actually, I mean, you'd be surprised how wonderfully and horrible the time flies when you're talking lore stuff. I don't want to jump into anything else just because we'll just keep talking, which is fantastic. But we do have a few minutes left if you guys wanted to add anything additional on top of the history, the very old history of this world. For instance, Rogen, did you want to dabble on more of that dragon if you're able to reveal it over on that island from Into the Wildlands?
I can't. She is still in play.
Okay, so that's fair.
she is currently still in play, so there's not much I can dabble on in that one.
That's fair.
I will say that to give a little bit of a teaser, Withered Wastes, we'll be dealing with two separate of the Forgotten Gods.
That'll be cool. It'll be a perfect opportunity. There's that campaign has so much chaos that will ensue, I'm sure.
And since you guys have visited the library and you guys spent time reading some of your books, the end point for history and the reset is 1590.
Oh wow. Okay. So kind of backing up just a little bit with that, then will we be able to see, because I know we've talked about it, will we be able to have a continent map soon for Withered Wastes and Sonata?
I have to do a very shitty MS Paint rendition so I can give it to HB Fox.
Okay.
He can do his magic with the maps, because I can't draw. I can't plot things. I just sit here and I think up wacky ways to, you know, torture you all.
It's like, oh, you plot things, just not on paper in a artsy way. I have zero artistic talent.
And for Sonata, we will have a continent map for that. I am planning to reveal it to everyone during Sonata 3, because much of that campaign, at least the start of it, will be taking place in the capital of that particular continent. So,
do we have a ETA on when Sonata 3 might be?
This year, sometime.
Summer 2021?
Possibly, more likely near the end of the year, as the other sonatas have incidentally been taking place. I think once No Way Out is finished and Mass Effect starts back up, I'm going to dedicate most of my energy to our Things from the Flood campaign.
Yes.
And once I have that all written out, then I will be looking to set a date for the start of Sonata 3.
Which will be exciting. Yeah, that's just a quick note on that. I'm definitely antsy to get back to Mass Effect. It's just hard to play the DM side when
baby
keeps getting up. So at least with here, I can have my headphones unplugged so I can hear you guys talking while I walk away to go deal with her. But it's not quite as easy to do when you're the DM. So unless you guys want to just RP, where I'm like, hey guys, RP, I'll be back. It's just kind of ruins the mood. So,
I'm in no rush still. I mentioned this to you several times privately. I think that just take your time. No Way Out can continue indefinitely. So there's no worries there. And I see Shadow Fox mentioning in chat that I think he was referencing Sonata needs a quarterly installment. Dude, I am refraining. I am refraining because I want to so badly.
Just do a campaign, man.
When No Way Out is over, I'm going to have this like DMing void in my life. And it's going to be so difficult not to just fill that with a persistent Sonata campaign.
Just do a Sonata campaign.
Persistent Sonata campaign, new characters. Everyone starts off at level one.
Every quarter of the campaign, I will switch out my Eladrin elves. And
there you go.
Because as much as I would love to keep playing them, I'm like, no, I got to keep the theme going. I got to do summer and spring. Or no, that's no idea. Yeah, that's right. Because I did fall and winter so far. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I have enough content roughly planned for Sonata that, like, there's going to be probably a Sonata 12 at this point.
Oh, Jesus.
Because
they're not even one shots anymore. They're just like,
mentioned when we were talking about the timeline, I briefly mentioned the Shadow overtaking the Sonata continent during the rise of the Forgotten Gods. The Shadow is coming back, and that is not something that can be dealt with in four sessions. So,
very true.
Not to mention with the current group of travelers that we have in Sonata in the Sonata campaign, do you trust any of them to take on the Shadow?
I don't trust any of them to stay in an inn room for one night.
My character would.
I'm sorry that Forge is a Swiss Army knife and to just disassemble a lock and then put it back together instead of just unlocking the door.
I was like, okay, like Snowdrop wouldn't. Adrian would. But yeah, so that's something we'll talk more about in the future. But just to kind of wrap it up, otherwise, again, we will just talk and talk and talk because it's so much fun. First of all, I want to thank both Rogen and HB Fox for being here and just rambling all that wonderful lore to us. We will, like I said, keep an eye out on our social medias, both Discord and Twitter, once we do have a finalized guest for next time, which will be fun if we can do that, if it does work out. We don't exactly have a topic for next time, but kind of somewhat in order, probably continue a little bit more on the lore of the world and kind of diving more into the calendar and the astrology, I think would be the next segment to dabble on. Because again, it's not like us in real life where it's 365 days, 12 months, you know, it's a whole new thing. So it'll be fun to kind of map out that calendar and the seasons. We were
lazy with our calendar like Wizards was.
Wait, what?
We weren't lazy with our calendar like Wizards was.
Oh, no. I'll
probably go on a tangent about that next episode.
Don't worry. We could dedicate an entire show to us going on tangents about the design of 5th edition.
Yeah.
I mean, they did good. They just got real lazy right at the end.
A challenge rating 23 dragon should have more than 200 hit points in an 18 armor class.
They're like, oh, right, we got to do that. This.
Nobody plays past level 10. Whatever.
Well, now we have to do a calendar and everything, too. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah. 360 days they came up with for their calendar. They had 5 days left that didn't fit in to match it up with the real world calendar. And they're like, okay, well, let's just throw an extra 5 days in that aren't part of any month, aren't part of any specific week. They're just five like leap year days that happen every year. So we can say our calendar is 365 days. Wizards.
It's a 5 day month that's called Smarch. That's it.
Smarch.
Yeah. It's yep. Smarch.
I like it. But that'll be fun to see. Obviously, we won't have like an actual calendar or anything. That'd be a fun project to do in the future.
I've thought about it.
It would be good. I think that'd be something super fun to have. I
just got an idea.
Oh, yes.
A sexy calendar.
Oh, I was thinking it.
That's what I was thinking. And you said like it. A pinup calendar or something. A pinup
calendar of the characters. Yes. With the 14-month cycle.
This is the start to the sexy pillows. But that's the difficult part now, is now we have to be like, what 14? Because obviously there's way more characters than 14. So I don't know if we want to do the OGs, mix them up, do NPCs.
Nobody says it can't be group shots.
It's true.
It's true. Putting a pin in that one. So
yeah, there.
More to come next session.
I already have ideas.
Yep, same here.
And then the ones who don't make the calendar get put on the pillows.
Exactly.
Or you know,
business side, sexy side,
or sexy posters or something.
Pin-up posters. There we go. But that's more to come in the future, guys.
I'm trying to imagine a sexy snit.
You know, there's kobold love out there, so you know, we don't discriminate. So thanks again, everybody, for hanging out. Again, we are planning on having a guest next time. We just don't know who as of yet. We'll have to wait till we get a little bit closer. So for this new show, it will be once a month. It is going to be the first Saturday of every month. So we will not see you again until May. I should have had this open and ready May 1st. Look at that. May 1st.
Is it May 1st?
It is May 1st.
Nice.
First Saturday is May 1st. Right, nailed it.
So next week is us on Withered Waste, right?
Yes. Next week we have Withered Waste, and then we have, of course, Destiny Forge is back. We have No Way Out. So, of course, we just are adding on to our other many glorious shows. It's just you'll just see us once a month. That way we can kind of build up a lot of lore and then just dump it all on you guys for the hour and a half of our segment.
I was looking at the calendar to make, like, trying to see if, like, there was going to be a time when, if, like, May 1st, we would have to double up on the streams to where, like, we would do Withered Waste and come in for this. But it looks like this is another Wayward Wanderers episode.
Well, that works out.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually kind of a good thing, too, is it doesn't interfere with any of those. Mm-hmm. Just like you saw today with Wayward Wanderers, you had a little bit of a break before we did this. So it will... I know normally we do stuff at like 7:30 or noon. It's just easier to do 5:30, just like a nice lull in the evening for an hour, hour and a half. So it won't interfere with either of the games, which is really nice. And if you miss it, we'll have it up on YouTube. We are also going to get together a podcast version for everyone to listen to. So you have multiple platforms to listen on this. We will have that link and everything ready once we get that up and running, because I know HB Fox is working on that.
Yeah. Usually the very first episode of an audio show takes a while to upload to all the various services. But once that first episode is live, every subsequent episode after that usually happens like within an hour of it being uploaded. Mm. So
it'll go up fairly quickly. Those
links when they're available.
Yeah. There is one thing I do want to bring up with all the work that we've been doing for Extra Life. And thanks to our amazing community and the bit donations that we got at the start of the Tuesday show, we are now over $1,000.
And it's only the beginning of the fourth month. Yep. That's so you guys amazing. Are
absolutely amazing. I'm setting a $1,500 milestone when we hit 15 or 1500. We are going to do a community-built monster.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I am going to open up different pulls, everything for the style of the monster, you know, its type, and everything like that. And I will build a specific monster for the community that everyone can use and that will make an appearance in one of the games.
Do we want to have a special show to kind of set that up so everyone in chat can start doing that, as well as anything put in Discord and everything else?
Yeah, definitely. It will be something that, like, once we get, like, the Discord feedback and everything, we get the core set out for it, then we can do a creation stream and shape its lore as to why it's here, what it does, and everything like that.
That'd be great. Who knows? Maybe we even have time, depending on where that falls. Maybe we can even do it on here as a special segment, but we'll kind of play that by ear as far as what happens in the Discord and people getting involved and then starting to shape and mold this interesting creature. So that'll be exciting. So thank you guys so much for all your love and support. We really do appreciate it. And we really appreciate you being here for our new show. So, like I said, just keep a eye out on our socials to see what our upcoming guests are. We'll also kind of do little friendly reminders of like, hey, next segment's going to be this, just kind of keep you up to date. So until then, you guys have a wonderful evening. Bye, guys.